because this was the most precious possession that Mary had. And she willingly gave it. Lord, to show her deep appreciation for Christ. The Bible tells us if we will follow Christ, we must deny self. Now, that's not what our culture tells us to do today. Today, it's all about self, isn't it? Today, it's about pampering self, pleasing self, putting self first, making sure that self has its way. That's totally opposed to the teaching of Christ. Jesus said, if any man will follow me, he must deny self. My dreams, my ambitions, my hopes, my aspirations. Deny self. Put them all aside. Take up my cross daily and follow him. Now, we've made the cross into something beautiful today, and that's understandable because of what it means to us. We put it into gold and silver and on our church steeples. But when Jesus made that statement, remember that back then there was nothing beautiful about a cross. The cross was the instrument of capital punishment in the Roman Empire. It'd be like saying today, take up your electric chair, take up your lethal injection and follow me. Devotion costs. It costs everything. It costs everything. Second thing we see about devotion, look at verse 4. After Mary had poured that ointment upon Jesus' head, it says, there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? It might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Notice those three words in those two verses. First of all, the word indignation. They were irate at what Mary had done. The word waste. The waste of the ointment made. And then they murmured against her. Secondly, we see here the criticism of devotion. The criticism of the they had nothing good to say about what Mary had done. Devotion to Christ will not make you popular. Will not make you popular. Holiness will not make you popular. Morality, not being politically correct, will not make you popular. And yet, Jesus said the way to life is a narrow way, and few there be that find it. Don't be surprised at where that criticism may come from. Now we know from the other gospel writers that Judas is the chief spokesman here in these verses. But it also tells us that the other disciples, believers, Judas was not a believer, but the 11 were, they agreed with what Judas was saying here. Don't be surprised at where the criticism may come from. Even believers here were criticizing Mary for what she had done. I was raised in a Christian home. All my family professes faith in Christ. But graduating from high school, public school, about 125 in the graduating class, I was number one in math and science and had opportunities and scholarships available. But God had called me to preach. And there were those in my family who thought I was making a mistake. I had all this potential, all this opportunity. Going into the ministry didn't seem to fit with what was at my hand or possible for my life. And there was even that one in the family that made the statement that I was wasting my life. Devotion to Christ does not make you pop. Don't be surprised where that criticism may come from. But remember this, you never waste what you give to Jesus. You only waste what you hold on to for yourself. And yet, in just a few days, Judas will be dead. Now you tell me, where was the waste? Then we see a third truth about devotion this morning. And after what these men had said, it's possible that Mary maybe even began to think that she had made a mistake. I mean, everybody seems to be against her. Everyone is criticizing her. Even the disciples of Christ are agreeing with Judas in his criticism of her. And maybe Mary even beginning to wonder, have I made a mistake? And perhaps trying to find a way to just kind of bow out of the house and out of the limelight for that moment there. But then, you read verse 6, it says, Jesus said, "Let her alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." There's the commendation of devotion. One person. Just one. But one person approved of what Mary had done. And that one was the only one that mattered. The only one that mattered. Everyone else could criticize her. That's okay. But because she knew that Jesus approved of what she had done, that's all that mattered to Mary. I talk many times about peer pressure with young people. I mentioned it when I taught them this morning, but you know, we adults, we deal with peer pressure. We want to be accepted. We want to be approved of. Many times we want to keep up with the Joneses. Peer pressure. But let men say what they may. If Jesus approves, I need nothing else. The commendation of devotion. Now, I have read this passage many times in my life, and every time I would read this in Mark or one of the other Gospels, I would read that verse there, verse 9, and we read it here. It says, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for memorial of her." And I'd read that, and I'd think, why did Jesus make such a big deal about this? Well, okay, it was a good thing that Mary did, but to make that statement that wherever this gospel is preached, this that she hath done shall be spoken of for memorial of her. He doesn't say that about anyone else, any other time in the entire Gospels. Even when Peter made that great declaration, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus never said that about him. There's times when he commended the faith of even Gentiles, non-Jews, and he never made this kind of a statement about them. And I'd always wonder, and why did he make such a big deal? And then I would just continue. And one day, as I was looking at this again, I began to look at the context. And you know, when you don't quite understand something, usually the context will give you the answer. Remember that we're here in the last week of Jesus' life before the cross. The weight of Calvary bearing down upon his soul. Just a couple of days he'll be praying in the garden, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, praying, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You see, he knew that in just a couple of days he would be arrested, betrayed by a friend, taken before the Sanhedrin and condemned of blasphemy, delivered over to the Romans, who would take his body, beat him. He would be scourged. Crown of thorns would be placed upon his head, mocked, spat upon, eternal God, the Creator, being spat upon by man. His body nailed to a cross as a thief, as a criminal. His lifeblood flowing from His veins. All that He suffered as a man. And then at noon, my wretched, filthy, despicable sin was placed on pure, holy, the precious Son of God. He died bearing my sin. And when He took my sin, He was abandoned by the Father and died alone. The wrath of God poured out upon Him upon the cross of Calvary, that which I deserve, that which you deserve. All this is bearing down upon His soul as He's just a couple of days from Calvary. We look at verse 1. It says here, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover, the unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes. Stop right there. The chief priests, these are the religious leaders. Those of the line of Aaron that are there to represent the people before God in the temple. The scribes, those who copied out the law, who knew better than anyone else the Old Testament. Anyone who should have been first in line to recognize and receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah. It was these men. What are they doing? It says here, they sought how they might take Him by craft and put Him to death. Then we read in verse 10, Judas Iscariot. I mean, this man, for over 3 years, he lived 24-7 with Christ. He saw the miracles. He heard His teaching. He spent time with Him. What's he doing? What's this one? It says here, one of the 12, he went unto the chief priest to betray Him, Jesus, unto them. Jesus, in fact, told the 11 that they would all forsake Him and flee. And here we see, as Jesus Christ, bearing that weight, knowing that in just a few short days He would be nailed to that cross and bear the sin of the world. Here He is, being suffocated by everyone seeking their own self-interest. Those wanting to destroy Him because He was a threat to them. His one of His own disciples going to betray Him for 30 pieces of silver. His disciples, the other 11, who would forsake Him and leave Him alone. In fact, as they're on their way to Jerusalem here, they're arguing among themselves who would be the greatest in His kingdom. And no doubt Jesus is thinking, after over 3 years, have they learned anything from Me? Everyone just thinking about self. The crowds, the rulers, Judas, the disciples, consumed and obsessed with self. But then there was Mary. There was one who was an exception to the rule. There was one who was not thinking about herself. There was one who was thinking about Jesus. One who was thinking about what mattered to Jesus. Mary was an exception to the rule. Mary, at this moment in Jesus' life, as He's carrying that weight, Mary was a breath of fresh air. At least there was one that was devoted to Christ. That what mattered to her was what matters to Christ. And that's why I think Jesus made that statement, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of as a memorial for her. I believe that today, in this day when lukewarmness, selfishness, worldliness permeates every area of our society, and unfortunately many times our churches, I believe that an individual child of God can determine, I'm going to be an exception to the rule. I'm going to make what matters in my life, not what I want, but what does Jesus want? What matters to Him? I believe that a local church can be an exception to the rule in this day in which we live today. As members of that church bind their hearts together in one to do God's will in this day in which we live. And yet, in light of Calvary, the devotion that we see in Mary, it ought to be the norm in the life of every child of God. It ought to be the norm. When we think of what Christ did for us upon the cross of Calvary. Everyone else thought that Mary had given too much. This expensive ointment. Everyone else thought Mary had given too much. But I believe down deep in her heart, still after she gave what she gave, Mary still felt like she'd given too little. Too little. Many times people say, 32 years in Haiti, you've given so much. Folks, in light of Calvary, we've given nothing. We've given nothing. What was the difference? What was the difference between Mary and the disciples? They're believers too. How could Mary have got it so right and they got it so wrong? What was the difference? The disciples were focused on the worth of the ointment. Mary was focused on the worth of the Savior. He's worthy. He's worthy. Would you this morning and throughout the next few days of your missions conference be honest with God and examine your heart, your life, from day to day, and ask the question, what am I focused on? Am I focused, is my life focused on what matters to Jesus? Is my life focused on reaching this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? In order to have a successful missions conference this week, you as members of this church, we must be devoted. Not so much to a cause as to a person. The person of Jesus Christ. And yes, He is worthy. Let's pray. Father, this morning,